Part 2, and that's at the 11th hour. We're on page 11. And we're at the terms Israel, Ephraim, Joseph. Going back for a moment unto the historical approach unto our subject, we recall that after Solomon's death, the Israelite nation, the 12 tribes, were divided into the two separate kingdoms, 1 Kings 11, 11 and 12, 12, 19, 27. The 10 tribe kingdom occupying the northern portion of the promised land was called Israel. Also, Ephraim and occasionally the house of Joseph. Israel, because of its majority of tribes, Ephraim, Isaiah 11:13, because his king came from Ephraim and Joseph, Ezekiel 37:16, because he was the father of Ephraim. But the true tribe kingdom occupying the southern portion was called Judah, because its kings were of the tribe of Judah. And therefore, its descendants are called Jews. The term Israel, accordingly, often applies only unto the ten tribes. So, when henceforth, in these passages, the reader comes upon the terms Judah, Israel, Ephraim, and Joseph, he will understand precisely who they are designating, and will thus, as we proceed, better understand Yahweh's plan for the ingathering of the 12 tribes of Israel and for the reuniting them in the one great kingdom. For the kingdom of the heaven, said Yahshua, is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Matthew 13:31-32. Yet the number of the children of this Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living Yahweh. Hosea 1:10. Hearing Yahshua's teaching, then rejecting them and crucifying him, the Jewish nation brought upon their heads the doom which Yahweh pronounced upon them when through his prophet he declared, ye are not my people, and I will not be your Yahweh. Though at the same time, in his great mercy, he let the promise be written, and the place where it was said unto them, ancient Israel, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ancient Israel, you are the sons of the living Yahweh. See Romans 9:24-26. So, happily, the same people Israel and Judah who were set aside and scattered with, will in that day, our time, be reaccepted and gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, Hosea 1:11. Having abode many days without a king, though not from the days of their captivity in Babylon, even unto this very day, the children of the Gentiles Israel shall afterwards, sometime in the future, says the Scripture, return and seek the Yahshua, their king, and David, their earthly king, and Yahshua, their eternal king, that's sitting on the throne of David at this time, here on this earth, and shall fear the Yahshua and his goodness in the latter days. Hosea 3:4-5. But as the David, the king of the ancient Israel, had been dead for many years when this prophecy was made, and as it has never been fulfilled, he was the type of the David to come. Accordingly, it is those who fear the Yahshua and his goodness, the apostolic Israelites in the latter days, our time, in the 12th parabolic era, that is the living time that we're in now, since 2003, who shall appoint one head, our king, the antitypical David. For the complete study of Hosea 1 and 2, read our chapter number 4, the latest news from Mother. From the clear cut facts, it is in the preceding paragraph, we see that the children of Israel dispersed without a king these many days are to return not as Jews, but as antitypical apostolics, congregational believers of Israel. This consolidation of the two ancient kingdoms, Judah and Israel, is set forth in the symbolism of the two joined sticks. Thou son of man, says the Yeshua, son of Yahweh, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for children and for the children of Israel, his companion, the ten tribes. Take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, that's the ten tribes, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. Okay. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say, unto them, this says the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, behold, I will take the stick of the Joseph of the ten tribes in the north, which hasn't returned yet, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and that's the ten tribes, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand, before their eyes, and say unto them, thus saith the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make of them one nation and the land upon the mountains of the Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all, and there shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, and so shall they be my people, and I will be their king, and Yahshua, and David, my underservant, shall be the king over them, and they all shall have, or shall be the visible king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd, and that's his invisible, and that's his visible king, David. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Joseph, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children's children, forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Ezekiel 37:16-25. This illustrated prophecy scarcely needs to be interpreted, as it is virtually self-explanatory, showing that the two ancient kingdoms, Judah and Israel, were yet begetted from among the heathen. Among them they have long been scattered, and that they will become again one great nation, a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Daniel 2:44. Moreover, saith Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their king, and I will be their invisible king, or no, visible king, with David, my under servant, as a king as well. And they shall be my people, and the heathen shall know that I, the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Ezekiel 37:26-28. Since Yahweh, the Father, says that, now let's do this again, since Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, says that he will multiply them when they again become a kingdom, and that the heathen shall know that I, the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, do sanctify Israel by my blood, and since he can never multiply nor sanctify after the close of probation, for the two ancient kingdoms must necessarily then be restored and consolidated during the probationary time, right here in this 12th parabolic hour that we're in right now. For the times of the restitution is our next subtitle on page 17. Okay, let's continue on. For the 144,000 being the first fruit, there must therefore be the second fruit. For where there is the first fruit, there must also necessarily be the second fruit. And as the first fruits are the servants of the Yahweh, the Father, and his Son Yahshua, here on earth, here in this 12th parabolic hour, they must subsequently be sent unto all the nations for the gathering of the second fruits, the Gentiles, their brethren, Isaiah 66:19-20, for the great multitude, Revelation 7:9, which John saw after viewing the seating of the 144,000. for a detailed study of this subject, 144,000, and the great multitude, see our chart number 1, the pre-11th hour extra, the shepherd God volume 1, for the fact that in their mouth is found no gall, Revelation 14:5. Plainly goes to show that they are to proclaim nothing but the pure truth, and make their words as authoritative and as mandatory as the written words of the prophets and of the apostles, and speed these first priests are invested with even greater power and authority in that day, says the Yes. Shall the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, defend the inhabitants of Yahushua, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as the David, and the house of the David, this now is not the 12th hour, that's what the name of it is, that we're put in charge of, be as the Yahweh the Father, as the angel of the Yahweh before them, Zechariah 12:8. Also, and that day, further says to Zechariah, there shall be a fountain open unto the house of David and unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness, Zechariah 13:1. When this fountain for sin and for uncleanness is finally opened unto the house of David, the crowning evidence will be seen that the consolidation of the two kingdoms is an accomplished fact, and that the time has come for the proclamation of the preaching of the plan of salvation to the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, the new and living way, which is we call the day of the gospel in all the world. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Yahshua of the host, Son of Yahweh, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. Now, I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land, Zechariah 13:2. That is, at the time that this kind of the salvation of the brother Abraham covenant of the Yahshua, with the proclaiming of the kingdom, that the kingdom is set up, it will be an Israelite congregation without guile, free from all idolaters and false teachers. And it shall be fed by one shepherd. And let's do it again. And it shall be fed by the one shepherd, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and I, the Yahshua, will be their king, invisible king. No, their visible king, along with my other servant David, also the visible king, and my servant David, a prince among them. Ezekiel 34:23-34. When the Yahshua thus takes the reins in his own hand, and again rules the house of Israel as a theocratic government in the last days, it shall come to pass, as says Isaiah, that the mountain of the Yahshua's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yahshua, and unto the house of the Yahweh of the Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of the Zion shall, that's not Zion, the 12th hour, that's the house of David, kingdom of David, the everlasting kingdom of heaven here on earth that David is in charge of, shall go forth the law, and the word of the Yahshua from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift their sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more, as their true to the floor. So with the ushering in of this everlasting kingdom of Daniel 2:44 and 5, and the consequent restitution of all things, there shall be on the one hand a great awakening among the nation, scrapping vast stores of war implements, which they have for years been laying up. They shall seek to go up to and become subjects of this everlasting kingdom of Daniel 2:44 here in these last days, and to join the armies of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, allowing him to fight for them, while on the other hand there shall be feverish war preparation among those who refuse to awaken, hurtling all into a super armament program. They turn even their farm implements into weapons of war against the kingdom of the Yahshua. This Yahshua, his congregation of Israel, got Joel 3:9-12, Zechariah 12:3. Therefore, the gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought, the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Yahweh, the Zion of the Holy One. That's Yahshua, the Holy One of Israel, the Son of Yahweh, of Israel. Isaiah 60, verse 11 to 14. For the further study on this phase of the subject, see the Shepherd Rod, volume 1, page 173 to 181, explaining Micah 4, and as a typical example of how the battle is the Yahshua's, read 2 Chronicles 20, 15, 19, 24 to 30. But being very far from such a high and holy estate, the congregation of Israel, Mount Zion, the 12th hour, must be purified. And this is the kingdom of David, and typical David. For no non-believer of any faith can honestly deny the church's need for purification and as the Yahshua never does anything without forewarning the church, he is now sending to her the message of the purification in order to give her a foretaste of the future glory, so that if the heavens calling call to reformation continues of shining forth among his people, they may have a keen relish for its truth, and may one give themselves wholeheartedly unto the work of the reform right now, while he is clearly laying before them his plan for those who give implicit heed unto the call shall have an irresistible resolve to come fully into line, and to have the Yahshua separate them from sin and sinners. They alone shall receive the seal of the Yahweh and as the first fruits of the kingdom, 144,000 strong, stand with the Lamb on the Mount Zion. Such a state of the holiness for today, just as in the past caused the dragon to be wroth with the woman, also now to make war with her remnant, Revelation 12:17, that's the Gentile, a conflict which is further described in the words, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. At the time of the sealing of the 144,000, noting the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, that's the earth in prophecy, earth is, nor on the sea, that's the old world in prophecy, all the other nations, nor on any tree, that's your ministers. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living Yahweh, and that's Revelation 7. And he cried with a loud voice unto the four angels unto whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the tree, till we have sealed the servants of our Yahweh in their foreheads. Revelation 7:1-3. Here is brought unto the view two hurtings about to take place. One by the winds, the other by the angels, and two commands unto the angels. One, that they restrain the winds, that the winds blow not on the earth, that's the United States in prophecy, and not on the sea, that is the old country in prophecy, nor on any tree, that's the ministry. There is someone. For the other, that the angels restrain themselves from hurting the earth, the United States, the sea, and the tree, till the servants of Yahweh are sealed, Revelation 7:10. Since therefore, as soon as the servants of Yahweh are sealed, both the winds and the angels will begin to hurt, the question arises as to what the work of the wind and the work of the angels represent, political strife or something else. As the nations have always been at war, this twofold work of the hurting could not represent political strife. And as Yahshua says that at the time of the end, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, Matthew 24:7. It is clear that the hurting by the winds, also the hurting by the angels, both of which are kept back until the 144,000 are sealed, must be figurative of the holding back of the time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, Daniel 12:1. Accordingly, Yahweh restraining of the four winds and his holding back the image of the beast activity, Revelation 13:15-17, against the saints, while the restraining, while his restraining of the four angels that they hurt not is holding back the executing of his vengeance, Isaiah 63:1-4, Jeremiah 51:18, up on the sinners whose trouble the church until after the sealing of the 144,000 is completed, being troubled. These two hurtings bring the time of the trouble such as never was. Revelation 7:1-3. Therefore reveals a twofold conflict. Wicked men against Yahweh, the blowing of the wind, and Yahweh against them, the angels, hurting them. But though the blowing of the winds and the hurting of the angels after the servants of the Yahweh are sealed will bring the time of the trouble, yet every one that shall be found written in the book shall be delivered, Daniel 12:1. from these facts we see that this time of the trouble is held back in order to safeguard the seating of the 144,000 servants, lest they also, the very elect, be brought down to worship the image of the beast or be killed for refusing. Since in the Revelation all the books of the Bible meet and end, the Acts of the Apostles, page 585, the sealing of the servants of the Yahweh, Revelation 7, must necessarily be found also in the prophecy. And Ezekiel chapter 9 is envisioned the marking of those who sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the spiritual Israel today, parentheses, it says, in Judah, and in Israel, the 12 tribes, collectively, and the slaughter of those who do not thus sigh and cry, and the fact that Yahweh has now no time taken the sinners from among the righteous in Judah and in Israel shows that this prophecy of the purification by the slaughter has never been fulfilled. So therefore, as the marking is the same as the sealing, the angel slain is the same as the angel hurting. This hurting and sealing which John saw, and the slaughter and the marking which Ezekiel saw, are again identified as one and the same. This sealing of the service of Yahweh is the same that was shown unto Ezekiel in the vision of the Testimonies to Ministers, page 445, Testimonies, volume 5, page 211, volume 3, page 267, as shown unto Sister White. This brings in our studies, our contact is at the 11th Aircraft, and that's number 11, click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.